Hello and welcome to another episode of the Successful Homeownership Show with your host, Richard McKenzie, out of the greater Cincinnati area. And we are recording this approximately mid-June 2022. And as many of you listeners out there know, we're in a pretty funny market. Not funny, ha-ha, just strange. And it feels strange and it doesn't feel normal. It's constrained seller's market where we have very little supply, and some things are selling very quickly and others are not. And we have a lot of investors from out of state, and Cincinnati seems to be a very hot breeding ground for investors. We have them from Florida, California, Israel, New York. We had one person call from Spain today. That was pretty interesting. And Oregon is another one. Oh, and Florida. Yes, don't want to leave Florida out. And we have a lot of houses ranging all over the places as far as price ranges. But today's inspection, I want to do a little different. When we have one of these mansions that are somewhere between $1.5 million and $2 million, and mansion is a relative term, of course, we want to talk about what it's like to inspect a very high square footage, large house with lots of systems, fancy showers, and yes, I mean fancy. I think I may have lost track of how many shower spigots and handles and shower heads and so forth were at the shower. So I'll talk about that in a little bit. So this house was approximately 23 years old. And it boasted 8,000 plus square feet, had a very full basement, of course, two floors, many systems. And let's talk about what that's like. What does that do for the inspector or inspectors, if you have multiple inspectors at a house of this size? What does that do? Does it change the way you interact with people? Does it change your demeanor? Because the person obviously is of means, if they can afford a house of $1.5 to $2 million. Well, I would like to think that we treat people the same way. We do realize that people of this buyer's market, of this status, do probably have a lot of people under their wing, a lot of responsibilities, and they are probably going to be fielding phone calls during the inspection. They may or may not be paying attention a whole lot. Maybe they're relying on the real estate agent to do the eyes and ears for them. You can't make an assumption about the level of knowledge that a person buying a house of this type knows either. Because, quite honestly, you could have somebody who is really been around houses their whole life and pretty handy, and they're still buying a $2 million house. And therefore, you may insult them if you explain things at a certain level. So that is something that we have to do as inspectors. We have to gauge the level of knowledge a person has by asking the right questions and figure out what level of explanation we're going to give them, because we never want to insult anybody, of course. So the important things for a house of this size, this roof is going to be very complex. So we have to really give a great roof inspection. And this roof, I would say, had a situation which is a tweener. What is a tweener, Richard? A tweener is... it is approximately a 25-year shingle, but if the roof is, say, 23 years old and you have a whole bunch of mildew on it and you do see a whole lot of wear and tear, then we do need to definitely allow the person to get a quote for a roof replacement to understand what they're up against either now or in the near future. Because a roof of this size is definitely going to be somewhere between $25,000 to $40,000, if not maybe even more, depending on the quality of shingle that they get. All right, so that's very important. having a great roof inspection with lots and lots of pictures. Very important. Okay, flashing around chimneys and chimneys in general, making sure that we have a lot of pictures of the overhanging branches and so forth. Branches need to be kept at a minimum. Shading is great, and you have a mammoth house like this, but you definitely don't want to have shade causing mildew, moisture, and other things. A lot of times people of houses of this magnitude pay landscaping companies, and this is something you want to jot down. Don't pay your landscaping company to keep piling up the mulch. It will cause tremendous moisture issues, and while it may look good, it may be worth having the landscape company take the old mulch away. Okay, dig it out and put new stuff. Therefore, you don't keep building up mounds and mounds and mounds till it's above the brick level, first row of brick, which has weep holes, which you're going to allow for carpenter ants and moisture to get into your house. Also, having trees, like I said, overhanging the property, and you start running into grading issues because the mulch is so mounded up in the middle that you create a divot towards the house and it creates moisture issues. And bushes, lots of bushes up against the house, touching the house, those are problems also. Now, sometimes you are going to have sprinkler systems, which are really properly called irrigation systems, and they're going to have multiple zones that you're going to want to have those tested out. Our company does test out irrigation systems, so that may be something you want to pay the extra fee to whatever company you are using and to have them inspect your sprinkler systems. Okay, so that's important as well. All right, so let's carry on. You're going to have at the garage, all the openings are very important. Why are the openings of a garage important? Because the lintel that sits on the opening of the garage sometimes is not engineered correctly. This is more commonly found than you think. Very important, because you could have cracks going at the center of that brick area above it. Sometimes you have a three-car garage at a house like this. More times than not, you do. Sometimes they're at an L shape where you have maybe the two-car garage on one side and a one-car garage on the other corner. Sometimes you even have a two-car garage and then two one-car garages all on the same side as well. That's possible. They all have different size lintels, and they need to be engineered properly to accompany the weight of the brick sitting on top of that and not crack and not settle. That's real important. So those are things that we look at as well. Sometimes there's an oddball heater inside a garage because somebody may have mounted that in, like one of these warehouses, Resnor type brand or York. They make these types of about 200,000 BTU furnaces that hang from the ceiling. You see these in warehouses and factories, job shops, auto mechanic shops, and they provide a whole lot of heat. Sometimes those are never used, sometimes they're lightly used, sometimes they're really old. So those are something that we want to look at as well. Attics in these things, in these houses, are very important to inspect. When you have something that is a custom-built house, not what I would call a McMansion, but you have a custom-built house that has a lot of different attic sections, you absolutely have to make sure that they are sealed right. In this particular one, the person who installed the furnace and the furnace flues punctured the roof and did have some light shining through, which means that the plumbing stack boots definitely can let in some moisture, and that's a problem. So we definitely flagged that at the inspection. And the attics also, the way they're designed, they have to allow for great airflow. Why is that important? Airflow is important because when you get stagnant, still air in an attic and you have some heating and cooling going on, you can have some interactions definitely of some condensation forming, which if that's in an attic, that's going to form mold almost every single time. Very, very important to take into account. So, and also when you have pieces of furnace sections and ductwork at various parts of the house, they should be well insulated. We did find one in a closet which had some ductwork, and it was forming some mold around it that the homeowner had no idea was there. Very important to keep your ductwork well insulated in these larger houses so that airflow is really kept well. Also, when you get in these tweener ages, which are somewhere between 20 and 30 years, some of the windows and thermal seal failures, the cranks on the windows, you go through several window treatments throughout the years, and that leaves a lot of possibilities of windows breaking down and not working properly. Because we do want to inspect those. We do want to make sure they open, that there's no rotted lower sections. Do you know how many times we have seen when very nice wooden windows that are never open, and somebody's irrigation system sprays the window and water sits at the bottom of that frame, and the bottom of the frame gets all rotted out. And these are nice Anderson, Pella, Truth windows, very Marvin windows, really nice windows, and they end up getting rotted out. And that's a shame because the sprinkler system or some branches overhang that area and moisture was kept there. Moisture is the number one destroyer of houses, so you've just got to manage that very well. You're also at these houses, you're going to have, at these custom-built mansions, you are going to have several fireplaces. And it is also very common to encounter, maybe, let's say you have four fireplaces, and two of them are used, and two of them appear to have never been used. Well, that's because when they were designed, where people comfortably get used to spending the most time in the house is just human nature. If one of them ends up being a place where you don't sit a whole lot and you don't have a lot of company in that room and it's too much of a pain to turn the gas on and get it all going in there, then you never use that fireplace. It's like the spare bedroom that nobody ever uses if you don't get a whole lot of company. Same thing happens with fireplaces. So sure enough, we noticed that in this particular mansion, you had at least one fireplace that really was never used. What about water filtration systems? You're going to have maybe some special spigots at the kitchen. They're going to have filters. Your refrigerator's going to have a filter. You're going to maybe have a water softener system, maybe a reverse osmosis system, easy water, whatever the system may be for not just purification, but also softening, which are two different things, by the way. If you're going to have those systems, you definitely want to spend the money to have somebody like a Culligan or some local company who does water filtration systems to give you a lesson on using these things and proper maintenance. They're not hard to do self-treatment, self-maintenance, and keep them going. Probably easier than running a swimming pool even, okay? So don't get overwhelmed with your water filtration or water for purification system. Listen, I mean, everything's on the internet now, right? All the PDF documents, whatever you need to take care of that water filtration system, water purification system, you've got it. Definitely. All right. So carrying on this beautiful house, which has had some things for 23 years old, of course, you're probably not going to have the original appliances, okay? Some of them may be stainless steel. Some of them may be the GE high-end appliances. Maybe you have some Sub-Zero systems. And by the way, a little FYI, not that it matters, but Frigidaire did buy out Sub-Zero some years ago. That's neither here nor there, but it just is. We have to be sure, believe it or not, yes, some of the cabinetry that looks like that hides appliances sometimes they have the wooden, very nice facades on the front there, and the dishwasher hides itself very nicely, sometimes the refrigerator as well. So we want to make sure we test these things out. Warming drawers, Make sure that the wine cooler is on. I mean, if that comes with the house, that needs to be looked at. Now, I'm going to make a joke here. Yeah, bidets. Well, we're not going to test the bidets. There, I said it with a nice uncomfortable pause. How about that? So we're not going to test those, but we are going to test out the showers. And I'm going to have you know, yeah, I've gone in one of these fancy showers and I love them. And it always does bother me sometimes when you have these wonderful shower heads shooting out from the wall, and when there could have been at least an extender bar added to that to make it drop down from the ceiling in a very nice way, instead of just doing one of those. I mean, if you're going to have a shower that's that nice, that expensive to put in, for goodness sakes, do the drop down from the ceiling rainforest shower head thing. It only takes an extender bar. It's not hard to put in. Pretty much anybody can do that. Now, you are going to have some jacuzzis, okay? You may have a jacuzzi master tub or something. And I'm going to get back to the showers in a minute. But when you are looking at a jacuzzi tub, you know, we have to keep an eye on that thing filling, okay? We have to know when that thing's going to stop and fill up. And then the shower handle that nobody uses on a jacuzzi tub, we are going to test that out. So if you're a homeowner and you're selling something like this, you want to make sure your stuff works. You want to make sure you flush it all out so there's not an embarrassing running all these mildew flakes start flying out of the jets and it's just nasty looking and it's a turnoff for a buyer. So make sure you have gotten everything in order before you sell that house and make sure it all runs well. So let's talk about the oh and that shower head too that's the handheld on the cord that is going to drip water back into the along the hose, okay? And that's going to go wherever that is underneath dripping on the floor. So we do shake that out, okay, to get the last drops out so it doesn't do that. Surface tension does work, and those drips do hug that hose and go all the way back down and into the underneath, and we don't want that to happen. All right, so the sh th this particular shower was a doozy. That's a technical term, doozy. This thing had four controls and I believe nine shower heads and a steamer. So yeah, we do test the steamer, and the steamer control is either going to be electric or gas, and it's going to be in the master closet, okay? And it is going to have a particular lifespan, and sometimes we've had leaks on those. Sometimes the tile behind in front of the furnace, which it really is a little furnace that's heating up the water, okay? It's a little water heater furnace, and it is going to sometimes have some moisture issues that get in the closet. And invariably somebody's clothes are always covering that heater for that water for that shower for the steamer that is. And that's something that we do want to take a look at. These shower heads in the shower over time, sometimes if you don't have the water softening system, they build up some calcium deposits and need some CLR, lime away, whatever it may be. Very common. So if you have one of these fancy showers that has a lot of shower heads and the shower heads have very tiny holes, they do get clogged pretty easily. That's why you would definitely want to have a water softening system if you have one of these showers. Spend the money. If you're going to spend the money on a beautiful shower like this, spend the money on a water softening system for sure. Okay. For the water, for the irrigation system, you're going to have the backflow preventer that's going to have a separate valve for it coming off of the water main in the basement. Then the backflow preventer itself is going to be out in the mulch somewhere outside. And in the basement of one of these beautiful houses, it's going to have maybe probably two water heaters, maybe three. It's going to have two electrical panels, maybe three. Those are going to be two 150s or two 200s. This one had two 150s, which is actually surprising for 8,000 square feet. I thought it would have more, but I think a lot of the stuff at this house was gas driven, so that would make you need fewer breakers if it were a all-electric heat pump-driven heating system, you definitely would have needed two 200s for that house, and probably threw a 125 sub panel on there as well somewhere. So again, there were a few things that needed some repairs at this house, a few HVAC things. There were a couple of hairline cracks that moisture was seeping in. These were shrinkage seams where the concrete was poured. Now I'm going to tell you why they were seeping. Because the mulch was piled up so much in these areas that it really needed to be dealt with. And please, please tell your landscape company to take the old mulch away, put new mulch in. I can't impress upon that enough. It does drive me nuts to see beautiful vegetation branches all up against the house, vines even sometimes. The amount of moisture up against the house, you really want to keep a 3 to 4 foot path between your bushes and your house to walk around completely, and keep your mulch 2 inches below the bottom row of your either stone veneer or your brick veneer weep holes, so you do not allow. I actually been in an inspection and saw a garter snake going in and out of a weep hole. Well, you know, if you keep your moisture low and you keep rodents away and all that kind of stuff, you're not going to have that kind of problem. So you're not going to have snakes unless you have things around your house that attract little mice and otherwise other creatures to get inside those weep holes and set up shop. Granted, you probably won't have any bugs, but you may have some garter snakes. We don't want that. Okay. They don't pay any rent, so they definitely need to be evicted. All right. So top down again. Roof. Definitely a hugely important part of one of these mansions, big parts of the inspection. The multiple furnace systems, again, really important. Also for the water heaters, the electrical systems, and for goodness sakes, the outdoor vegetation and keeping moisture away, and making sure that your inspector knows what they're talking about with respect to the level of the person who's buying this $2 million mansion. What type of level of explanation can you give him? What are the most important things that he or she needs to walk away with so that they are dealing with their realtor and negotiating? Because the person may only listen to you for 5 total minutes because he's on the phone dealing with things back at the work site or at the operating room or the doctor's office, whatever it may be, who's buying this particular property. They only have a limited time span or attention span, and you've really got to make your points very clearly, very quickly, and something that they're going to remember and latch onto. Roof, number one, you need at least one electrical panel updated. One air conditioner did not particularly work well, that needs to be repaired, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that's the type of bang, bang, bang you need to get these points across. And then make sure that the report is very well written with full sentences, with punctuation. And do take into account, too, if your inspector does not deal well with multiple cultures from around the world, and you have a person who is not their English as their first language, then that's important. Find somebody who does. Why am I saying that? Well, for obvious reasons, because we are good with that. And make sure that gets across and you are able to communicate well. It absolutely is. The party who is explaining something to the other party, it is not the job of the person being talked to make sure they understand it. It is the job of the person delivering the message to make sure that the party hearing that message understands it. Okay? Make sure that you explain things well to your client and make sure they've understood it. There are ways of making sure that they understand it without insulting somebody. So, and make sure your realtor understands that as well. And, you know, quite honestly, that same set of rules applies for how it's explained to the real estate agent as well. So this has been a little bit of a different home ownership show podcast, talking about a mansion, a custom-built mansion, but also a little bit of cultural stuff. I just kind of went off on a tangent. That's okay. I really hope you got something out of this. And we'd love to hear from you if you want to give any feedback, comments. Richard at firstinspections.com. That's spelled with the number 1 S-T at the beginning. And inspections is plural. And until the next episode, we really do thank you for listening.